Channel open. Welcome back to Weekly Trek, a proud member of the Tricorder Transmissions Podcast Network and presented in partnership with TrekCore.com. I am your host, Alex Perry.
What's today's date? The date.
Today's show was recorded on April 7th, 2023. We are now less than 40 years until the Vulcans land in Bozeman, Montana. And this episode is current through the Star Trek Picard episode Surrender, so beware of spoilers. All right, let's get into the show.
Good day, Voyager, and welcome to A Briefing with Neelix. It's a catchy title, isn't it?
Weekly Trek is a regular news show, covering the biggest stories from the Star Trek franchise. We are in a new golden age of Star Trek. There are 6 television shows in production, possibly more on the way, and enough merchandise to fill the Bajoran wormhole. So stick with me, and I'll help you sort the real facts from lots of the Dominion propaganda that you'll find online. But I can't do this alone, and my guest this week is returning guest, TrekCore's own and co-host of the Snap Trek podcast. It's Jen Tift. Jen, welcome back to Weekly Trek.
Thanks, Alex. It's good to be here.
All right, Jen. Well, you know the drill. I want to know something's got you excited about Star Trek at the moment. What's got you moving at Warp 10?
Oh, well, in particular right now at this moment is something very silly.
I love silly. Hit me with silly.
Okay. Oh, I got something fun in the mail today.
I like to
collect replicas of Star Trek tools.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm an engineer, you know, by day. And so that's my thing. I've got a big toolbox full of...
And is it a 24th century Star Trek toolbox, or is it just a regular toolbox?
It resembles O'Brien's toolbox, yes.
Very cool.
Wonderful fun, but today I got an isolinear scanner in the mail today.
Uh-huh.
And it lights up and everything.
Oh my God, look at that. So are you just going around waving it literally everything
in
your house?
I love just holding it in my hand and pretending that it does.
You were having a little trouble getting your tech set up before we started recording, and now I can just imagine you there waving your isolinear scanner realigning relays, you know, changing the polarity, calibrating, sure, all those fine engineering Star Trek words.
You just wave a light over it. That's how you fix anything.
Have you been carrying that around with you literally all day?
I literally have.
I love
fun.
That.
It's super fun. Yeah. No.
What other tools have you got?
Oh my goodness, I've got all kinds of stuff. I've got, you know, flux couplers and I've got an ODN relay scanner too.
Yep.
I've got a coil spanner, so calibration spanner. I've got a whole bunch of ridiculous things that don't really do anything.
So basically what you're saying is if a Starfleet shuttle crash lands in the 21st century, you're the person they need to talk to for the supplies and tools necessary to fix their ship to get back to the 24th century.
Well, they might be excited until they realize it's all just a bunch of plastic.
No,
things.
It's all real. It's all real.
It's all real.
It's
I'm prepared to step up and be a part of anyone's engineering team if they need help. if they need plastic pretend tools.
It's good to know that someone's prepared.
Always prepared.
All right, let me tell you what I'm feeling good about Star Trek this week.
Yes, let's hear it.
Okay, so you know the Star Trek Picard Season 3 soundtrack is on its way. And so sometimes when they drop new soundtracks, they don't appear until the day of, and you have to remember on the release day to go and then get them. Picard Season 3 is, I order the digital soundtrack. It's up for pre-order on Amazon right now, which is great because I just hit the pre-order button and then it will just appear in my Amazon account, and like I can start listening to it as soon as it arrives. And the release date for the album coincides with the day of the finale for Star Trek Picard Season 3, which is April 20th.
That's
so
my birthday.
Oh, is it your birthday? Oh, happy birthday. So at some point between the hours of midnight on April the 19th and, you know, whenever I wake up the next morning on April 20th, the Star Trek Picard Season 3 soundtrack is going to drop into my account and be available for me to listen to as soon as I get up that morning. So I'm going to be just like a kid on Christmas because I am really excited to listen to all of the fabulous Star Trek music that is on this soundtrack. soundtrack. And the fact that it coincides with the finale is even more wonderful, because it means awesome. That I can get up in the morning, I can rewatch the finale, I can listen to the soundtrack and just have myself a real sort of immersive Star Trek Picard kind of day, just doing all of my favorite things. So yeah, I'm really excited that the pre-order for season 3 of the Picard soundtrack is now available.
I love that. That's great that it coincides with the finale. That's a nice way to do it.
Yeah. Especially since I think, you know, on that day, there are going to be some particularly bombastic things that happen, right? Some major, gotta be, right? Like lots of major events, potentially some major explosions, you know, yeah. You're going to feel really good about everything connected to the finale. And yeah, like I think there's going to be some great music connected to it as well. So I think those are the tracks I'm really excited to get my hands on.
You know, they released the song titles.
They right? did. Yes.
And some of them.
Did you peek?
I peeked and I'm very excited. I mean, I just think that this isn't a spoiler, but this is just what I think. That I think episode 10 is just going to be one big, huge Frontier Day celebration full of, like you said, explosions and cameos and references and guest stars and all kinds of just, you know, just an insane. I think it's going to be insane in the best way possible. And I can't wait. So yeah, nice to have the soundtrack to that on the same time as the episode drops.
Yep. From the moment I wake up in the morning to the moment I go to bed that day, that's the music that's just going to be playing constantly.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Well, with that, let's turn to the week's top stories.
There's a war going on, and I'm a reporter.
Well, Paramount certainly delivered big surprises and reveals for First Contact Day this week, as we were all expecting following a couple of weeks of build-up with new Star Trek announcements. In addition to providing updates about three of the current hotly anticipated shows in production, they also dropped a new trailer for the next show coming this August, including our first look at beloved characters who started in animation, but who we now know will be showing up in live action. And they didn't stop with TV announcements. We also got reveals connected to the next three movies that are expected to release in the coming... This is not the right script. This is the script for Weekly Wars, a Star Wars news podcast on the Holocron Transmissions Network. Everything I just talked about was revealed today by Disney at Star Wars Celebration about its upcoming Star Wars shows and movies. Let me see if I can find the right script for Weekly Trek. Okay, here it is. Sorry, that was my bad. I bet there's something equally great to talk about from Paramount in relation to Star Trek. It was a big week, right? It was First Contact Day. Surely, lots of fun stuff for us to talk about. All right, so, and the big news is, drumroll please, we got a set of character profile shots for Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 2. Wait, that can't be it, can it? We got a series of character profile shots for Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 2. Yes, 3 years after deciding to make First Contact Day a Star Trek franchise event marked by big announcements. Remember last year we got the news that the whole TNG cast would be returning on Picard Season 3. Paramount seems to have decided, well, so much for that. You got your Starfleet Academy show announcement last week. Aren't you happy? The Strange New Worlds character posters are, well, I mean, they're okay, I guess. A little overly photoshopped, featuring characters with the same makeup, hair, and costumes as we saw them in Season 1. Seriously, you guys couldn't even have dropped a Strange New Worlds Season 2 trailer? It's only 9.5 weeks away from premiering. Or maybe held back the Starfleet Academy show announcement to First Contact Day? No? Okay, I guess. Well, just another disappointment in franchise management from a corporation that increasingly seems to want to find ways to signal that it does not care about its fans. Oh, and the day we're recording is also the 1 year anniversary of the day we all traveled to Chicago for Star Trek Mission Chicago. Remember that? That was a lot of fun in 2022. Jen, you and I normally get together to talk about the big news of the week. We were expecting it, and it never came. What was your reaction to this week's ground-shattering Star Trek announcements?
Yeah, I thought we'd have a lot to talk about today. I was excited. I was looking forward to First Contact Day, thinking we'd get something good, especially like you mentioned the Starfleet Academy announcement. I figured if they announced that before First Contact Day, they must have something real good for First Contact Day. You know? So I was a little bit excited that there might be some news, and then all day nothing.
It's so weird.
It's just weird.
It doesn't not make any sense to me, right? Like 2 weeks before First Contact Day, Strange New Worlds gets a Season 3, Lower Decks gets a Season 5, Strange New Worlds Season 2 gets a premiere date. The week before the Starfleet Academy show is announced, that feels like we're, you know, building crescendo. Yeah. And that's kind of what happened last year. It wasn't sort of so quite so close together, but like we got the news about Lower Decks season 4 and Prodigy season 2 and Discovery season 5. That all happened in like February timeframe, and then First Contact Day we got the big, you know, TNG cast returning to Picard season 3, which was just like an incredible day, such a huge piece of news and so wonderful. It's just like they've primed us for this now. I mean, I know First Contact Day was a thing, right? That's been a thing since 1996 when the fucking movie came out. But like in the last 2-3 years, the studio has really sort of adopted it and said, like, this is right. An important day in the Star Trek calendar, right? They've identified two important days, First Contact Day on April 5th and Star Trek Day on September 8th. And it's like, all right, well, we were ready, right? And they had a new show announcement. That was the week before. If that was the big announcement that was coming in April, just slide that back one more week to First Contact Day, right? If they'd announced it that day, everybody would have been like, oh, this is the big news of First Contact Day. We're all good. Right. It's just such a weird, unforced error of you've now undermined your own announcements. They're actually pretty good. By not comporting with your own corporately developed timeline that you have given to fans to say, here's when to expect that there will be news and announcements. It's just so, and like Strange New Worlds is at that point in time, it was 10 weeks away. It's now 9.5 weeks away. By the time people listen to this episode, it probably will be closer to 9 weeks away. Or if you're listening to it a week after that, 8 weeks away, right? And we still have not seen a second of footage from Strange New Worlds season 2, right? Like, why was there not a trailer for Strange New Worlds season 2 on First Contact Day? We know one's coming. It's 10 weeks away, right? Like, normally you get 2 trailers. Well, we're 10 weeks away and we haven't gotten a single one yet. It just, it's so, so bizarre. And I don't know, it just, it, like I know I shouldn't feel that mad about it, right? Like, there was a new show announcement literally the week before, but I am. And I feel like it's like that was a really easy error on their part that they could have avoided in 100 different ways. God, I'm just so annoyed about it.
I think the posters almost seem like adding insult to injury.
Yes.
No, it's kind of worse than if they just didn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, sure, they're like, as I said up top, right, they're fine posters.
Yeah.
It's just like, I know what Captain Pike looks like, and I know what Number One looks like, and you didn't change anybody's hairstyle, and you didn't change the costumes at all. So it's like, okay, yeah, it's just sort of like a... Ensign Uhura, cool. Yes, cool. That's cool. That's, yes.
You know?
But it's like, nothing else about it is different.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, okay. And the fact that it came at like 11 o'clock meant, oh, well, you know, wow, yeah, we're building like, up to like
this
a 1 o'clock
the appetizer.
Trailer.
Yeah.
Exactly. Rather than, nope, that is everything that you are going to experience for the rest of the day. And it's like, okay, womp womp. Oh, well.
I'm super excited for Strange New Worlds, too. I mean, I'm ready to get psyched for that. It seemed like a perfect time to drop some footage, you know, drop a trailer and get everyone, you know, there's only 2 more weeks of Picard.
Right.
Get everyone psyched for the next thing. And I don't know. Posters didn't really do that for me.
Yeah. And someone suggested like, oh, well, maybe they're, you know, just trying not to step on Picard season 3 by putting stuff out related to Strange New Worlds season 2. And like a couple of things to that. One, you're either on or you're off the Picard season 3 trade in episode 8, right? Like, at this point, nothing they do will really dissuade or persuade people to watch it or not watch it. You have the audience that you have. I think it's okay for you to like give that audience something that's not Picard related. That's number one. And number two is, under that logic, if there are 4 seasons of Star Trek this year, then that means there are 40 blackout weeks where you can't talk about any other show than the one you've got, which when you've got 4 shows, means you're compressed to a really short timeline in terms of when you can promote the other products. And that feels wrong too. So yeah, it just, I heard some speculation. Obviously, there's been like a lot of excitement in the build up to the possibility of there being like us finally getting something Section 31 related.
Right.
You know, was that supposed to be here, but it's not ready to go yet? And so they were just sort of left with nothing. Who knows? I mean, that's all wild speculation, but it just is really strange.
I would think too, like, I mean, the audience for Picard season 3, you're getting more than the usual suspects there.
Right.
I mean, take advantage of having their attention. You know, and release a cool, hey, look at this other cool show we have that's coming out June, you know, next new season coming out June 15th.
Right.
You know, look, check it out. Yeah. Or even just the announcement of the Starfleet Academy show, you know, a new show coming out, you know? I don't know. It just seems like they, if you made like a huge deal out of all this stuff on the day, which the quote unquote new audience for Picard season 3 knows what First Contact Day is, you know, because they have that reference, because they're most likely, you know, 90s TNG fans.
Yep.
You have their attention right now. Take advantage of that.
Drop a big interview with Alex Kurtzman in which he talks more about, like, you know, he gives us just the tiniest bit of a hint of Starfleet Academy and the tiniest bit of a hint of some of his other thinking. I mean, we're talking a little bit about some of, you know, he's done that recently for SFX, right? Like, but that's, of course, behind a paywall. You got to go buy the magazine in order to get access to that, right? Like, they could have thrown something up on StarTrek.com being like, Alex Kurtzman talks about the future of the Star Trek franchise. And even if he had not said anything significantly new, but just like, you know, just given little hints and teasers here and there, that too probably would have sufficed in terms of giving people something to be excited about. But they gave us the Strange Worlds character posters. They didn't even give us Carol Kane,
right?
Which is, God. You know, like the character that everybody's really excited about.
We're getting Carol Kane.
Exactly, right? Like,
yeah. Anyway. Oh my gosh, this season's gonna be so epic.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to
so
it.
So epic. Yeah. I'm just, every once in a while, my mind just flashes to the Strange New Worlds Lower Decks crossover.
Yep.
And I just giggle. I just can't wait. Spoimler. Carol Kane. Kirk.
Kirk. Your boy.
Lockirk.
And your girl.
Lockirk. Yeah. I'm workshopping the name, the ship name. But, yeah. Oh my God. There's so much to be excited about Stranger Worlds season 2.
Yes. It's a very special show to me, and I'm really looking forward to it coming back. Well, given we didn't actually get any new show announcements that made good on Alex Kurtzman's hints in SFX magazine a few weeks ago that I referenced a little in last week's theory section, let's actually look at what those hints were, since it turns out they weren't meant to lead to anything this week. In the interview, Kurtzman discussed that there were open discussions about whether and how to continue to use the TNG cast following their advocacy for a movie or sequel TV show to Star Trek Picard season 3. We talk about that all the time, he said. Is there a movie version? Doing a movie is different. It's 2 hours, right? So it's different than doing 10. You know, anything is possible, truly. Kurtzman also hinted that the franchise might move into looking at doing miniseries or TV movies focused on specific characters from the Star Trek franchise, saying, quote, by the way, even individual characters, I think we could absolutely continue to tell stories about individual characters that are set up on the show in other contexts. That's the beauty of having a universe now, in that, in a perfect world, we're not just doing seasons of television, we're doing event series, miniseries, we're doing single events that could be 2-3 hours long, like TV movies. I think we're now at a place where that's really possible. And as for the Section 31 announcement that I was sure was coming this week, check last week's episode's theory section to hear me sound like a right Muppet. Kurtzman said, quote, I can tell you that we're still very excited about Section 31, and that's all I will say. Apparently, despite the excitement, an announcement was not ready for First Contact Day. Will it be ready soon, or has Star Trek lost its chance to secure another collaboration with Oscar winner Michelle Yeoh? Jen, I know you are a big Short Treks fan. What do you think about the idea of blowing that up into doing TV movies or miniseries that are not directly connected to the current shows?
Yes, this is what I want. I'm actually super excited about this. Like you said, I'm a huge super fan of the Short Treks. You could do so much with a shorter form. I mean, like a lot, like, don't get me wrong, I love Picard season 3. I really do, but this could have been a movie. You know what I mean? Like, it goes a little too slowly for my liking. Like, it could have been a movie. And if they're constrained like that, I think they could do such cool things. And you could do, just like with the Short Treks, you do experimental things. You do set all, you know, all kinds of tones, all kinds of weird characters, all kinds of stuff. And like you mentioned, you know, if you're trying to get Michelle Yeoh now, who I assume is even more expensive now, with, you know, probably a huge chunk of money, if you get her for just a miniseries or a TV movie or something, that might be doable. And that's how you can do the big things like this. And that's how you can do the big things. And also, this is how you do the little things like this. I mean, just give me like a, you know, like a bring everyone who's acting, still acting, just bring her back. Bring Chief O'Brien back, you know, just like a day in the life, like, you know, Chief O'Brien wasn't supposed to be here today, you know, and things happen, you know, I like, there's just so many ways to go with that. And I could watch them forever. I love that. I love a good TV movie. I love that for, like, it doesn't have to be, everything doesn't have to be so cinematic all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I love.
Or
I
it
love,
can be, but just be an hour and a half long.
Right. But also, like, I just like the, I like TV, you know, as well. Like, everything doesn't have to be like a movie either.
Yeah.
Like, just like dial it down sometimes, you know, and maybe in this form, like, if maybe it is too, like, a cost saving thing, and hey, save some money and dial it down and just have like, just have like a normal thing. It doesn't have to be like high, like stakes, like the all the time, you know, I don't know. Like, oh, there's just such a wide universe to play in. So hopefully they will take advantage of that. And I'm very excited about that. That made me happy that they might be bringing the, you know, short treks back in spirit, you know, the spirit of the short treks, because I really got a kick out of those.
Yeah, this is not fully compliant with what you just said, but it's somewhat compliant with it in the sense that the recent projects that I think about from another major, you know, cinematic franchise that has sort of branched off into doing like fun little one-offs is the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
I love that one.
Which was terrific. I mean, it was not low budget, but it was terrific. And the Halloween special they did, whose name I'm forgetting, Werewolf by Midnight, Midnight Werewolf, something like that.
I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, did you not see that one?
Is that on Disney Plus?
Yes, it is.
That was also...
It was not Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, it was Elsa Bloodstone, the like monster hunter from the comics. Yeah.
Ooh, I'm writing that down right now. I'm gonna go.
Oh yeah,
watch that later.
Yeah. Hold on. Marvel Studios Werewolf by Night, which was directed by one Michael Giacchino, and who also did the soundtrack for it. Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun. You should watch it.
Yeah, I definitely will. But yeah, like those things. Like, do things like that. That's so cool.
I mean, I'm not saying that I need a Star Trek holiday special, right?
No.
You know, that's though, you know, I like hearing sort of Data sing a rock ballad about his perceptions of what Christmas on Earth is. I would be just as down for that as a real Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
Dude, bring Kevin Bacon into the Star Trek universe.
Exactly. Bring Kevin Bacon into the Star Trek universe. I'm totally down for that.
That would make, that would help Morehouse's bacon number too.
Yes, it sure would. Quite significantly, but like thinking specifically about the Halloween one, right? Like that was a real play with tone. Marvel hadn't really done like a horror piece before, mm-hmm. and this is one that like was a Halloween special. It was, you know, sort of a like it was in that genre. It played with those sort of concepts and that feelings. It's very noir. It's mm-hmm. you know, set at night and an abandoned manor type thing, right? Like everything you would expect from the tropes of sort of a Halloween special. Using Marvel characters and concepts and like do that, right? That. Like,
yep. Play with tone.
Play with
genre.
Be nutty, be experimental. Yep. And I think in that scenario and circumstance, right? Like, you don't necessarily like, you know, if they do end up reducing the slate of the size of like number of shows they have in production, you could still get quite a healthy sort of year-round Star Trek by having one of these every couple of months, right? Like if there are, you know,
we could go back
to having larger gaps in between like 10 episode seasons.
Right. I'd be down with that.
Yeah. I have my theory at the end. I have two specific pitches for TV movies. Any characters that you might want to...
I can't wait to hear. Well, I mean, you gotta do something with Bashir, man.
Oh, Bashir. Oh, you don't think he'll show up before the end of season three of Picard?
He could. Very well.
Episodes left.
That's right. Him or her... Well, Captain Esri is another possibility, both for, you know, last episode. Gotta get someone from DS9.
Gotta get someone in from DS9.
Oh my god. I don't know. There's so many things you can play with. Like I said, I mean, also the newer, you know, our old beloved characters, but also, hey, that's how you can get Shaw back. Everyone loves Shaw, you know? Hey, what's Elnor up to? Hey, you know, like there's so many. I mean, god, visit Rios in present day.
Uh-huh.
You know? Or, you know, 10 years from now or whatever. Yep. Like, play with the characters you have and the characters you've created. And, I mean, the possibilities are really, really endless.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm down with Star Trek horror, Star Trek, you know, Star Trek comedy, Star Trek romance, Star Trek whatever. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
We'll take it all.
Take it all. I love that.
Well, this week's episode of Star Trek Picard Surrender saw the definitive return of Data, live and kicking in a new synth body and newly incorporated with the personality of Lore into his own. Trek Movie talked to Data actor Brent Spiner about his decision to return as Data following the character's two previous deaths and what it's like to be back playing with his other TNG co-stars. First, the big question. After saying Picard Season 1 was the last time Spiner would play Data, why the decision to return to the character? They just threw hundreds of thousands of dollars at me, Spiner said. I kept saying no, 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 and then it just got absurd, and I said, well, okay, maybe one episode, and then it just got even crazier, and I thought, okay, I'll do the whole season. In fact, Terry had some interesting ideas and had a whole way to address. My first response to him was, how are we going to do this? And they came up with this stuff, and we tweaked it a bit, and then I thought, yeah, I want to be there to play with my friends. I wouldn't want to be home knowing they're all having fun, and I'm not there. And Spiner also reflected on whether he considers this Data to be the same character as the one who was destroyed in Nemesis. I do, because he's still equipped with his original memories, Spiner said. If your computer blows up, I mean, Data is a machine. He didn't die like a human being dies, he's a machine, and if your computer blows up and you can retrieve the hard drive and all the information in it, that computer is just a shell. The body was just a shell, and so he's taken with him on the journey everything that came before. Spiner also talked about what it was like having all seven of the TNG co-stars back sharing a scene this week. We're very good friends, but it's the first time those characters have met in a scene together since Nemesis. And yeah, it was really kind of amazing. I loved it. I looked around and seeing everybody and thinking, wow, here we are 36 years later or whatever it's been, still playing these characters and playing them more fully than we ever have before. And what about Spiner's noted distaste for working with the feline actors in The Next Generation who played Spot? I would say this cat is considered the Daniel Day-Lewis of cats, Spiner joked. It wasn't really required to do anything other than snuggle with me, which it did brilliantly, so I was just fine doing that scene. Jen, what was your reaction to the resurrection of Data in this week's episode of Star Trek Picard?
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing what Star Trek Picard Season 3 is trying to do, which is one last hurrah for the whole cast, you gotta figure out a way to bring Data back. And that's what they did. You know, they start with the premise that, okay, we gotta have Data back at that conference table with everybody else. And how are you gonna do that? And I think they came up with a pretty elegant solution. An elegant solution that allows Data to be there, also allows him to be his age,
yep,
and not so constrained by being an android in the sense of like, oh, he can say contractions now. You know what I mean? That's just a shorthand way of saying that he's more human. Like, he doesn't have, you know what I mean? He's not constrained in any way by the way Data was in TNG. And I think it's brilliant, and he's back, and that's great. And I like the way they had the final battle between him and Lore.
Yes.
I thought that was an elegant way to do that, to have him finally defeat that part of him, because Lore is always a part of him, even though he's a separate being. He was still, you know, still the other side of the coin from Data. And I think the integration of Lore into Data was well done. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it. So first of all, I think it respects the two previous deaths. And I did like the little conversation between Picard and Data where Picard was like, did we do the right thing? And Data was like, yes, I think you did. You know, that like that Data is resting peacefully, but this Data couldn't imagine being anywhere else other than here. Like, that was a really nice moment.
Yeah, I mean, this Data is a copy of he's like, that Data did die anyway, you know, just like Picard did die, you know, like they're just copies. But and that's fine, like, who cares? For all intents and purposes, besides, you know, a metaphysical debate, that's meaningless, you know, because it's still just Data and Picard at the conference table.
But it's nice for Data specifically, I think, to this point you were just making, that like, it's not just Data this time, right? Like, it is a slightly different character in that, you know, it's the sort of combination of personalities. And I doubt there is much time with only two episodes left for them to explore that in significant detail, but does create fodder for either future projects or novels or whatever the hell to, like, you know, sort of explore that idea of who is this Data. They did it in the books. The concept of how to bring back Data in Picard is actually kind of similar to the books. In the books, it turns out that after Brothers, Noonien Soong had downloaded himself into like an ultra sophisticated, like Soong type android, and then went about living his life in secret until he discovered that Data had died, and he was so desperate to bring his son back, he basically sacrificed his consciousness and gave his body to Data. And and then Data comes back, but he is sort of like a merging of Data and Sung, and he's in this new body, and so he immediately has this like quite different personality and quite different journey, and like he is a different character, right. Still the same character, but like different in some ways. And I kind of hope that's sort of what they do here, because I think that creates a lot of interesting story possibilities that does allow for honoring the original character and the original portrayal of the character, but also gives the character growth in a new direction that, you know, is an interesting one in and of itself.
Yeah, even just like the first thing he did when he got on the intercom or this
was monologuing protoplasms.
He's trash talking Vedic there,
and which is a very law thing to do.
Yeah I thought that was great. I'm like, okay, we've got it. We've got the spirit of Data, but he's you know, loosened up a little. Is basically what it boils down to. You know?
And I bawled at the spot scene. I mean, just absolutely lost every semblance of control that I had.
It was lovely. The trinkets, as he called them, you know, that they picked were just. I bawled. I was bawling before that when the Tasha Yara hologram came out. I thought that was lovely to add that. That was such a wonderful thing to add to that. And like Spot representing the best part, like he said, you know, the best part of him, like, but it's also the thing that Lore lacks the most.
Right.
You know, so that being the final like nail in the coffin of him being able to override Lore with his love of Spot. Oh my God.
Yeah, what are they doing
to us? This is beautiful. Just beautiful. Just gorgeous. I just loved it. I loved it.
Wonderful, wonderful scene.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad. I don't begrudge anybody who's like, oh, I can't believe they brought back Data. But I'm just like, I'm happy they brought back Data. Right. Like,
At this point, I want to play with all my TNG action figures.
Exactly.
And now they're all there at the conference table, and we have two more episodes to play with them. And, and that's why, like, that's all I want. I want everything to be resolved in episode 9, and then episode 10 to just be like playing with our action figures with, you know, maybe some of my Voyager action figures come and play with, you know, maybe
a couple of Deep Space Nine too.
Maybe even some other people from history.
Potentially. There are some theories bouncing around in some.
We are celebrating some group
chats. Yes.
Certain thing. Yeah. But yeah, I love it. It's great.
Yeah, me too. Well, and lastly this week, we have a little Star Trek Starship collectibles news with the announcement on First Contact Day that venerable UK collectibles-based company Corgi will be making a line of Star Trek Starship models. Separate from the discussions about bringing the Eagle Moss collectibles line back in some fashion, Corgi have said they'll be making Starship models that will be approximately 8 inches in length, so more in line with the Eagle Moss XL sizes. No announcements about which ships will be leading off their line, but they have said they have the rights to all Star Trek and nothing is off the table. This is actually Corgi's third foray into Star Trek after producing two Star Trek Starship collectibles in 1982 for Star Trek II, which were produced so early in the movie's production cycle, the packaging still bore the movie's working title, The Vengeance of Khan. The company then returned briefly to Star Trek in 2006 for a small line of starships celebrating the franchise's 40th anniversary, and now back again in 2023 with the ability to sell in all markets except, confusingly, North America. Not much information is available at this time, but we'll watch and wait and see for new announcements. All right, Jen, I got a thought exercise for you. You've just moved into your new office. It has one shelf, and you can fit three Starship models on that shelf. Any Starships you would want to pick, what do you pick to go on that shelf?
Ooh, okay.
It could be anything.
See, that's a different question than, like, because it's not like, oh, what's your favorite Starship that you want to, like, serve on. It's like, what three ships do you want to look at every day when you're in your office? Okay, well, I gotta have if I'm gonna pick the ones I want to look at, it's got to be like the coolest, like, engineered ships.
Yep.
So I gotta have an NX-01.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with the NX-01.
Start at the beginning.
Yeah, so start at the beginning.
Yep.
Well, and then I'd have to choose between that and the Titan A, because the Titan A, it's the spiritual successor to the NX-01 in a lot of ways.
But you wouldn't have both?
Well, they hit the same.
They
scratch the same itch.
Yep.
I got to have me a Decora class Marauder.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's the one that I would want.
Yeah.
Like to have just to drive around.
That's a sexy ship.
It is. I just love it. I just want to like get a beater and like fix it up and then just drive it around the galaxy. That's the ship I want. So I probably want that one.
I love those shots of it in The Last Outpost. Yeah. When it first shows up, it's like, what a cool looking ship.
It's cool. Yeah. It's a cool looking ship. I like it. And I like that it's manageable. It's a manageable ship. That's why I'd like to, you know, have one as if like I could, you know, with my plastic tools maintain a starship.
Hey, you've got an isolinear scanner there, Jen. The wonders you can do.
I am
with an isolinear scanner. Throw in your ODN coupler and you're all good.
Keep it running. And then let's see. Okay, so scratch those two bitches. God, I mean, okay. All I have to go. God, you know what? One of the most beautiful ships, I think. I guess all of them are kind of cliche because it's like, no matter what ship you say, it's like, oh yeah, that's a good ship. I love I just love the classic Klingon Bird of Prey.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Like the HMS Bounty.
Yep.
I just love it. I love everything about it. I just think it's so elegant. It's an elegant design. I love that they made a ship that looks like a bird in an airless void of space. Like it's just, but it still looks like it's just so elegant. This still looks like it's gliding through space. I just love it. Yeah, those are the three I'd want to look.
Wow. That I mean, like I was expecting three Starfleet ships, but you gave me one Starfleet, one Ferengi, and one Klingon.
Yeah,
I love that.
Variety, a little variety. Little Friday.
I love that. That's awesome.
What about you? What are you putting on your shelf? You're gonna get them all.
I'm just looking at my oh yeah, of course I'm gonna get them all. I'm looking at my shelf to see how I answered
in
the past, right?
Yeah.
Well there it's a glass case and it's in the other room and there are like 20 ships in there.
We gotta pick three, guys.
Okay,
three to take with you if you know.
Enterprise D.
Yes, I mean, yeah.
Come on.
That Enterprise D. I mean, that's what I want to serve on, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. No question. Excelsior.
Mm.
Yeah. Big fan of the Excelsior.
Oh, I knew that about you. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
That's cool.
Ooh, and number three. Oh, I should have come prepared to answer my own question.
You got to know it's getting kicked back to you.
I know. I should have known. Number three would be...
And it's not binding.
It's not binding.
That's why you buy them all, right? Because then you can switch
Correct.
Them out.
Correct. because I'm terribly indecisive. NX-01.
Yes, NX-01. Yeah. Oh, I love that ship so much. Which we might get a chance to see.
I hope so.
In... Episode 10.
Yeah.
So what we're celebrating, right? I don't know if I'd rather see the NX-01 or Scott Bakula in a hologram. I want them both.
Oh, come on. Scott Bakula.
Yeah, Scott Bakula.
Well, you already did see the NX-01, right? Like, yeah.
We did. That's right. It was one of the ships. Oh, I want to go to that museum and just like spend months.
You want
there.
Geordi's job.
I want Geordi's job. He has the best job. He just gets to tinker with these amazing ships.
Just keep them up and running.
Just tinker. Yeah. That's what I want to do when I retire. That's the dream retirement job for an engineer. Just tinkering like that. With
and have your kids,
things.
You know, serving there with you. Right?
Oh,
like
yeah,
the mystery
so
wife as well.
Yeah. Oh, what a great life. I'm so happy for him.
So be you, mystery husband, three kids, you'd be all good.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just tinker. Oh, I love it. I love how, like, it was funny too, the way he's like, did you take that off of my bird of prey?
Right.
Like, called it my, like, the HMS Bounty and he called it his. I just love that. That made me so happy.
Yeah, because you'd be equally as possessive
bird
over
of prey,
it.
Of course, yeah. So great.
All right. Well, we've talked about the facts and now let's speculate on what's going to happen in the future of Star Trek.
You make some very good points, Captain. But it's still all speculation and theory.
So each week, my guests and I give you a wish or theory we're nurturing about any of the shows or the future of the franchise. So Jen, let's hear your theory or wish for this week.
You know, I don't do theories. And no, I'm just talking about something. Going to talk about something I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
You know, 'cause we talked about Strange New Worlds, which, oh my God, this right in a row, we're going to have Strange New Worlds season 2. We're going to have Lower Decks. Season 4, it's just amazing. And then after that, Prodigy. And the thing that I'm looking forward to with Prodigy is that I think Prodigy season 2 is going to scratch the same itch in some ways that Picard season three is.
Yeah.
You know, I think because it's think about what this season is going to be. It's going to be Janeway.
Yep.
Commanding
Voyager.
Probably a Voyager looking for Chakotay. That scratches that same itch of like of our, you know, back to business for the characters we love. And I think it's going to get a lot more play. You know, I think there's going to be more excitement for that. And I think there's going to be a lot of happy times on Trek Twitter for once, you know, just enjoying having Janeway back in command of a ship. I just think I'm just really looking forward to that. I think the tone of it is I just think it's going to scratch that same itch that Picard season three is. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think there's going to be, I mean, there's chances for so many cameos there too, even more so than than episode 10, you know, 10 of Picard, probably because it's easier to do, you know, to just voice your character. Again, I'm not that voice acting is easy, but you know what I'm saying. Like, there's less involved,
right. Yep.
Of doing that, you know, than the live action. So I think it's an underrated thing that I'm looking forward to, considering all the great stuff that's coming up. You know, so that's it. That's all I wanted to talk about.
No, I love that. I love that because you're 100% right. And you know, season one of Prodigy, like it sort of dipped in and out of being a very traditional Star Trek show, right? Like, you know, for a lot of the first season, it shied away from some of that stuff. But as the first season sort of got deeper and deeper, it got closer and closer to that. And the closer and closer it got, in my opinion, the better it got. Mm-hmm. And now it's at the point where like it is there and it's set up now to be a classic Star Trek show, right? Yeah. With its own specific twist, you know, with its own specific setup, but ultimately it's these characters on a Starfleet ship with a Starfleet captain, one we just happen to know, you know, and like they're off, right? They're part of the Federation, they're part of Starfleet, you know,
they're
like,
on a mission, a Starfleet mission, a sanctioned mission, a very cool mission too.
Like,
they're going through a wormhole that takes them through space and time to find Chakotay. Like, how cool.
So like a ton to look forward to.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess I had not processed it in that way, but now you mention it, I'm like, oh yeah, there's so many possibilities for like really cool stuff to happen in a way that hopefully will appeal to your kids in the same way that it does appeal to us, right? Like we're really looking forward to it. All right, let me give you my wish, which is also Prodigy related.
Oh, okay.
And ties back to our discussion about TV movies from earlier in the episode. So obviously we have coming up, and we've not seen a single frame of footage, but I think it'll be highly successful. The Strange New Worlds Lower Decks crossover.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Every time you mention it, I'm living for it.
Yes. In which we're going to see animated characters in live action for the first time. I would like a TV movie that features one or more of the Prodigy characters appearing in live action. I think that'd be really cool, right? Like,
amazing.
And like the time frame for it, right? You could fast forward a bit, right? Like you could do a movie about one or two of these characters in the Picard time frame, right? Like 20-ish years on from where they are, right? Let's see these characters, you know, in live action and grown up and like deeper into their career. You're not spoiling anything by doing that because know where the show's headed, right? Like, you know, yes, some of the characters' journeys might not end up at exactly the same place, but like, you know, just pick Dal, for example, right? Like it's really obvious where Dal's story ends up. Like the joy of the show is not the destination, it's the journey. Star Trek Voyager right there.
To the journey.
So if you know the destination, he's gonna end up in Starfleet. He's gonna be a great Starfleet captain one day.
Right.
Let's fast forward in time and have a TV movie about Dal as captain of whatever ship.
Oh my god, I would love it. And Brett Gray could do it and a great Dal.
Absolutely like, could.
Absolutely could do that.
Right.
The same way Tawny Newsome and Jack Quaid can do their characters. He could definitely do Dal.
Right. And so you wouldn't have to do the whole crew, right? Like, because, you know, maybe at this point in their life, they have sort of gone their separate ways, but maybe he gets a, you know, subspace communication from Rock Tuck and, you know, like,
Rock Tuck looks like the lava monsters from The Good Place.
Yes.
Like, they could definitely do it, you know? Yes. Definitely do a Rock Tuck in a lot.
Great Good Place reference. Really enjoying that show.
Love that show.
That's my wish is so we're going to get Lower Decks in live action through Star Trek Strange New Worlds. I think Prodigy deserves a live action something. And if they're talking about these TV movies or these miniseries, like let's incorporate, and it doesn't even have to be like about Prodigy, right? It could be about something else that has like Dal as a character in it. you know, to like tie that in.
Well, and also, I mean, that's honestly a good way to get the kids who start aging out of Prodigy.
Exactly.
Get them into, you know, get a live action version of the character they know and love, you know,
which
is a really great way, you know, a friendly version, you know, version of a TV movie, like, you know, to not necessarily aimed at kids, but accessible to the kids who are aging out of Prodigy would be amazing. Oh, my kids would die for that. They'd love that.
Do a live action DAL TV movie that ties into an episode of The Next Generation.
Yes.
So then you watch the TV movie and then you go, oh, well, I want to go and watch the episode this is based on.
Right.
And that, right. Like I'm drawing the drug connections from A to B to C.
We are Star Trek pushers.
Yes. Right back to A again. There's an explosion in the 29th century. Debris from Voyager's hull is found in the crack. Whatever. Sorry. That's just... Not to
so many.
The cycle of causality is complete.
A leads to B.
It's to C leads to A.
I love that. That's great.
Do you have a theory or a wish for Discovery, Picard, Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks, or Prodigy that you'd like to share? Hey, I guess if you've got Picard theories, you better get them in quick because there's only 2 weeks left. Tweet them to me at Weekly Trek or email them to me at weeklytrek@thetricordertransmissions.com and I might feature your theory in a future episode. Well, that's all the time we've got for this episode of Weekly Trek. Thank you so much to my guest, Jen Tift, for joining me today. Jen, how can people contact you if they want to continue the conversation?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at EditQuirks and my podcast is SnapTrek.
And you can find this show on Twitter at Weekly Trek and me at Alexander T. Perry. And if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast player of choice. And please check out some of the other great shows on the Tricorder Transmissions. And if you like our shows, please also consider becoming a Patreon of Tricorder, which you can find at patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions. And lastly, if you're looking for Star Trek news on the internet, I hope you will turn to trekcore.com. Well, thank you, Jen. Thank you to all of my listeners. And until next week, live long and prosper.